The other one's in Spanish, so I didn't have to edit it. welcome, everybody. We are continuing in the book of James. We are in chapter 2 this morning, beginning in verse 8. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. The title of this message is Dead Faith Danger. Dead Faith Danger. Okay, it's a danger, brothers. Eternal danger, a spiritual danger to have a dead faith. A lot of people don't know they have a dead faith. But James here is clearly going to delineate and describe it and to illustrate what a dead faith looks like and what a live faith looks like. Okay? There are many people who mistake being religious with being saved, with being having a relationship with Christ. They're not the same thing, okay? And so we need to make sure we understand we haven't fallen into a comfort zone of being religious, okay? And that is sufficient, and it's not, brothers. It's not. We're going to see how James explains that. The bottom caption says, there is a danger in having faith that is short on works of love. Okay, on works of love. And that's his theme for today, okay? It's dangerous to have a faith that is short on works of love, okay? When you hear that word works, he means works of love, okay? Works of righteousness, good deeds, that's what works, that's going to be the meaning of works when we read it in the text. So let's go to... Danielle, could you make sure I'm able to advance it, okay? Because I'm not getting a response here. There we go. Okay. Point number one. Who we really are is revealed by what we do, okay? And that's what James is going to illustrate here and show us, okay? And God wants us to show that we are children of God. He wants us to show. It comes out naturally, but you know, it requires the act of the will as well for us in obedience to God to show who we really are. And last week we saw the sin of partiality, okay? That we're to honor the poor and not mistreat them or ignore them or set them aside, okay? And that was the sin of partiality, is really a lack of love for the needy. A lack of love for the needy. And so he's going to touch on that too. He's going to go back and touch on that as he goes through this morning's message here. So point A, okay, we are either governed by God's love or by evil ambition. Evil ambition. One or the other, brothers, And so if you're just religious, you're going to have evil ambition at work below the surface, okay? It's going to be below the surface, evil ambition at work. And so let's see what verse 8 says, okay? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scriptures. What is the royal law? That's royal means king. So it's a law that the king has given, and that's King Jesus. When he was he taught his disciples this particular law. It says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal law. If you're doing that, it says you are doing well. Okay? And it assumes here, he assumes that if you're a true believer, you are loving people. You're fulfilling the royal law, loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Now he's going to address those who have dead faith. Okay, because he hears about it. He knows that there's people who are not converted yet, but are simply trusting in religiosity to be right with God. And so he says here, but verse 9, but if you show partiality, okay, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. You're committing sin, okay, if you show partiality. Again, that's the sin of not meeting the needs of the needy, ignoring them, okay, pretending they're not there. Then we are convicted as lawbreakers, brothers. We are transgressors, okay? And that should probably have hit those people who are merely religious, but the heart of love is not there. And the heart of love is not there. So it's getting them to perk up. Wait a minute, I think that's me. For them to start saying that, okay? At this point in verse 9, they should be saying, you know, I think he's talking to me. Yeah? I'm showing partiality. I'm, you know, things like that. Point B, see, partial law keeping makes us transgressors of the whole law. Okay? Partial law keeping. The Jewish community, of course, is very religious. They had the law of Moses for, at that time, about 1,500 years, maybe at somewhere around there, okay? They had the law of Moses. And so they thought that if they can keep 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10, you're good with God, because you subtract the ones you're not keeping from the ones you are, and you wound up with a positive, okay? And you're right with God, okay? God is going to be so pleased that you got more of them right than you did wrong, okay? And that was the attitude that James is addressing. He knows about it. He was there before he was converted to Christ, and he understood the gospel and understood the law correctly. He had the same thinking, and so he's addressing that thinking. Okay, partial law keeping, you're okay with God if you can just keep most of them. And that's what, you know, and in Christian churches too, there's some of that attitude. I'm a good person. I keep most of God's commandments. There are some I can't, or I don't want to keep. I don't want to keep them because, you know, I love doing it. I love breaking those commandments. And so I'm okay, though, because I keep most of them. And he's addressing that right there. Okay, verse 10. Let's see what verse 10 says. It says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one, okay, in just one, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you commit adultery, but do not commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. See, the law of God is one package, okay? You can't divide it up and say, you know what, I'm gonna pick and choose here. It's one complete package of holiness that God wants for his people. And so if you're going to throw out one, you throw out all of them, okay? And that's what he's saying here. We're a transgressor of the whole law, okay? And he's addressing those people who haven't been converted yet, who have problems loving their neighbor because their heart hasn't been converted yet, yeah? Let's go to verse 12. And here we're going to see that the commandment that James gives the church. It says, live like those who have been set free from the power of sin. Now, if you're a true believer, live like that, okay? Notice what it says in verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty, okay? Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy, okay? Those are the ones of partiality. Showing partiality, not meeting the needs of their neighbor, of the poor, okay? There'll be no mercy, for mercy triumphs over judgment, okay? Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if you have understood the law of liberty here, you will show mercy. What's the law of liberty, brothers? That's the gospel. It's the gospel, huh? Because you've been shown mercy by God through his son Jesus Christ, by going to the cross and paying for our sins, I am obligated. I know I should show mercy to my neighbor, huh? To the stranger, to next door neighbor. I'm obligated to show that mercy. Yeah? I have no other option. I have to. As I've been loved, I need to love. As I have been forgiven, I need to forgive. So speak and act as those who have been forgiven. Okay? It's basically what he's saying in verse 12. Yeah? Because if you have not been forgiven, if you have not been shown mercy, and if you've not understood the gospel, then you will not have mercy for others. You will not show compassion. Okay. And so we got to make sure that we have come to that point where we have understood the gospel and submitted to Christ. Point two is another area where religious people get it confused, and they think because they have correct doctrine, correct, because they've read through the Bible, because they understand and memorize scripture, that is sufficient to be saved. And it's not, brothers. Tacit theological beliefs are not enough to save. It's not enough to save. Yes, we should know the Bible, know God's will, okay? But it doesn't mean that we submit to those truths. If you don't submit to those truths that you learn, then it does you no good, okay? James 2:14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith? That means that he believes in God. He believes that God is the creator. He believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He believes that Jesus died and rose again from the grave. He believes all these doctrines. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's been saved yet, okay? Notice, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Remember, works means acts of love, acts of mercy and compassion, okay? Good deeds, okay, those are works. But if he has no works, can that faith save him? And it's implied, brother, that the answer is no. Because it's not a complete faith. It's still a dead faith. Yeah? Knows all the right things, but has not changed that person's life yet. Has not given that person a new heart. Not giving them the Holy Spirit. So it implies that faith cannot save the person. Yeah? Because the evidence is not there. That's what it's talking about. The works of love, brother, that it's talking about here is the lack of evidence. There's no evidence that you're saved. You're religious, yes. You know the Bible, yes. Yeah? But you're not saved yet. There's no evidence. It's what James is saying. And God says, if you're saved, you're going to have evidence. You're going to have evidence in your life. Notice, saving faith must show through deeds of love. Verse 15, let's look at that. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food. Now, that's just in the church, okay? And it goes out to your neighbor, of course, as Jesus taught. But he's applying it right within the church. If a brother or sister in Christ, in the church, is basically what he's saying, is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give what is necessary for their bodies, okay? For their bodies, what use is that? What use is that? To say, go in peace, okay? Be warmed and be filled is basically saying go warm yourself, okay? And go fill yourself somehow, okay? It's basically what they're saying because it's in the middle tense. It means to do it, it's an action done to self. So it's commanding that person, okay? You go fill yourself, okay? That's very heartless and cold, okay? Attitude and words said to a fellow brother or sister in the church, okay? And so that is evidence, brothers, that is a dead faith. It's a dead faith, yeah. It's hard right now to really find out where we are with our needs. We used to have a fellowship time between services, between Sunday school, where we could talk and share and drink coffee and talk and share each other's needs. We had Sunday school. And so now, brothers, we have to be a little bit more proactive, okay? I try to give obvious, urgent needs from during the announcements, like Lisa. You know, she can't work. She can't make money. We have to help her with food. We have to help her with meals, perhaps. And so that's an obvious need there. But that is a cold and heartless evidence, brothers, that that person has a dead faith, okay? They have a dead faith, and they're in the church. Now, understand this, that dead faith has no compassion for the needy, okay? Notice in verse 17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. It's dead. Okay? Now, don't misunderstand and say, well, I got to work my way to heaven. No. Say, get a real faith and trust in Jesus and give him your sins and give him your will, give him your future, make him the Lord and King of your life, as we've been singing. Okay? And he will give you all, all the love you need to love people, okay? As they should be loved, as he would love them. Now, see that picture there? I tried to pick one that, a person that looked really needy. I didn't put a healthy person there, a young person with his sign, okay? They have the ability to get their act together and go to work, okay? But sometimes the infirmed, those in wheelchairs, those who have broken legs, those who are vets, whose body has been badly damaged. I choose those who are the most needy, brothers. There's a lot of needs out there, but choose the ones that are truly needy. Yeah. I want to make an application here. This last section is for end times applications. What is end times? When the signs of the Jesus' return is everywhere. Okay, and that's right now. Okay? And it's going to get more. We're just at the beginning, brothers, of the signs of Jesus' return. The white horseman of the apocalypse, who's been given a crown, has gone forth, brother. I believe that's the coronavirus. He has gone out conquering and to conquer. And that thing has conquered the whole world. It's everywhere. Everybody's talking. Businesses, everything shut down. Masks everywhere. I believe that is the first horseman of the apocalypse. Okay, the second one has come out. And that's the one who's been given a sword and given the authority to take peace from the earth. Okay? And the riots are just the beginning, okay? I think it's going to get worse. I don't want to be a doom and gloom guy, but I'm just looking at what's happening and what the scriptures say. And so we need to be ready with plenty of love. Okay? Plenty of love for these times, okay? The compassionate faith of true saints will shine in the last days. It will shine. Okay? It will shine. Notice the prophecy in Daniel chapter 12, speaking of the end times. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness or to Christ, the righteous one, like the stars forever and ever. Okay, God has planned so that his children will shine in the darkest times. And I believe that James is preparing us to shine as we should. To shine as we should. Okay? That's the prophecy. Brother, let's get ready for it. Let's get ready. So there will be more and more people in greater need. More and people, yeah, as the months go by, there's going to be more people in need. More riots. More violence. Okay? And we need to start to prepare. Yeah? Start showing the acts of love, works of righteousness, all of those things now rather than later. Oh, when it gets really bad, I'm going to be helpful. No, brothers, if you don't do it now when it's easy, you're not going to do it later when it's hard. You're not going to know, oh, I don't know, I'm overwhelmed. I'll give you something to help us through that, okay, in a minute. So this is what's coming, okay? This is what's coming. I did give a prepper message a few months back about how to be ready, first of all, for your own family. Save extra food. Store it now while it's available. Water. Have things extra, you know, that you might need in case the power goes out, in case there's lack of food. Toilet paper, brothers, it's not that, okay? There's other things more important than that, okay? But have it. Have it. And then have extra, brothers, plan and put aside extra for those, for acts of love that God is going to use. Because he's going to bring people into your life with needs. And you're going to have the resources ready for them to give. Yeah, you're not going to have to go, should I not? Hey, I've already planned for this. I've already planned to love people. I've been preparing to love people. Start preparing with resources, okay? With resources to love those that God will bring to you with needs. With needs. And also, many who claim to be good right now will have their love grow cold. That's going to happen. Look at Matthew, what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 12. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Yeah, the violence is going to increase. It's, you know what? No, I can't help you. It's not safe. I can't. No, there's too many needs. I can't help you. No, people's love is going to grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. What does it mean to endure? He's talking about those whose love does not grow cold, whose evidence of being a child of God continues no matter what happens, continue to shine. Okay. They will be saved because they're saved. Okay, so the evidence will stay in their life, okay? As things get difficult, you might say, you know what? I don't know. You know, it's already hard. Will I be able to still love people? To still help people? If things get even worse? Believe me, brothers, you can, and I'll show you why in a minute. But this attitude, brothers, when people's love starts to grow cold, they're going to justify it. There's a saying that says, take care of number one. Yeah. That's the instinct, brothers, that kicks in of the survival of the unconverted. The instinct survival of the unconverted. Take care of numero uno right there. I can't help you guys. I know you need help, and I have the resource, but I can't help you. I might need it. Yeah? And then goes the justification. Yeah? Take care of numero uno. But brothers, that flies against the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yeah? That flies against the teachings of Jesus Christ. Let me show you where. Matthew 16, verse 24. He's telling disciples, those who follow him. That's what it means to be a disciple. Those who follow him. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, number one, he must deny himself. Well, how can I take care of numero uno? Okay, if I'm denying myself, okay? He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay? Take up the difficulties. Take up the path that leads, that's eventually leading to the end, to death even, and then follow me, okay? Verse 25, for whoever wishes to save his life, take care of numero uno, okay? Will lose it. He will lose it, okay? But whoever loses his life, for who? For my sake, will find it. What's for my sake mean? It means in obedience to him, yeah, in doing His will, in loving people, in doing what God expects of me, in shining for Jesus, okay, like the brightness of the stars, He will find it, okay? He will save it. In other words, verse 26, but what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, if he saves himself, takes care of numero uno, okay, and forfeits his soul? What does it gain him in the end? Okay? It's temporal focus. I'm only focused on this physical life, and I got to take care of numero uno. Brothers, life is much longer and greater than this life on earth, and that's what we got to be focused on, okay? On that life, okay? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So just for you to understand, brothers, that our love cannot grow cold towards people, okay? Because if we are denying ourselves and following Jesus, doing His will, yeah, and doing His will. And I like this verse, but I'm not going to camp on it very long. Who you are, brothers, is going to be revealed. Yeah? The follower of Jesus cannot live by that principle, and so we will be known by our works, by our fruit. Jesus compares the believer with a fruit tree. Okay? Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, and nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit. There it is. Good works, in other words. But the bad trees bear bad fruit. Selfishness. Coldness. Yeah? Cold-heartedness, in other words. That's bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. And we're going to be asked at the end if you have good fruit, yeah, in your life. Can people easily come up to you and receive a blessing in their need? Yeah? Can they easily come up and see that beautiful, gorgeous fruit hanging there and receive a blessing into their life in their time of need? Easily? Sometimes it's not as easy finding our fruit as other times. Sometimes people gotta look through the brush and see, where is the fruit, you know? Oh, it's way up. And you make them work for it. Do you make them work for it? Do they gotta go find a ladder and to receive a blessing? Brother, should be low and ready. Brother, you have a need. Here it is. Here it is. How can I help you? Yeah. That's good fruit. That's a good tree. Last part of this is the truth we need to understand so that you don't get frustrated and say, I don't know if I can do this. You need to understand this, though. Every believer has all the abundant love of God within them. Yes, you have it all that you need right now. Let's look at the verse here in Romans chapter 5. Right down here in verse 5 at the bottom in the yellow, it says, and hope, okay, as a result of everything above, all four verses gives you hope, okay? And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, okay? When you came to Christ and you were converted, okay, from a sinner to a saint, you were given the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit came all the love you needed, brothers, to obey God and love people. Yeah, and love people. You have it, brothers, you and I. We have all the love that God wants us to use in these last days to help people, okay? Now, but we got to make sure we start at the top. It starts with making peace with God. If you haven't done so yet, if you're just religious, if you think, oh God, I'm a good person, I really don't need a savior, you know, I'm keeping 9 or 8 out of the 10, whatever. Brothers, you have not made peace with God, okay? You're a transgressor, okay? So, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go to God, make peace, brothers. Huh? Get justified, get declared not guilty because you have trusted in the blood of Christ for the payment for your sins. Yeah, it starts there. If you haven't started there, you still have dead faith. Your faith is still dead. No matter how good a person you are, eventually you'll be exposed as the things get harder and harder that you lack the Holy Spirit. Okay? Number two. Okay. Then we stand firmly on the grace of God alone. As you understand the gospel more and understand the depths of God's message of salvation, you realize that there's nothing I can do to get saved. It was all a gift of God. His forgiveness. Yeah? The faith to believe in Him, that was a gift as well. Okay, everything that comes to me from above is from God. There's nothing that I really own. It's all from God. You stand on God's grace alone, okay, and not your own efforts. Yeah. Number 2A says, our hope becomes fully set on the eternal glory of heaven, not on earth. This is all discipleship, brothers. I want to tell you this. This is understanding God's word in order to do it. Okay? In order to do it. A religious person just wants to understand it and hear it, but not do it. That's the difference between a religious person and a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay? As a result of understanding God's grace, look at what it says here. Through whom we have also obtained our introduction and by a faith into this grace which we stand, okay? Take a firm stand on God's grace for your salvation, and we exult in the hope of glory. All of a sudden, you're now focused on heaven. That's where I'm headed. That's where I'm a citizen of heaven, and that's where I'm working towards making sure that, you know, my entrance will be glorious. Jesus already paid for it. It's already for sure, but now I'm living a life that will enhance my experience in heaven once I get there. So our focus, we're heaven bound now, okay? And then number 4, we start to take our tribulations as a training for godliness. Now that's a follower of Jesus. He's starting now to see tribulation now as a good thing rather than a bad thing. The world is giving him lemons and he's starting to turn them into lemonade. Okay? How? Notice verse 3 and 4, what it says here. And not only this, but we also exalt. Oh, exalt in our tribulations. Yeah? Rather than complain, we're exalting in our tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, there's godliness there, and proven character, hope. Okay? So all of this, brothers, helps us in loving people. Because once you're able to grow as a disciple in these areas, then it says verse 5, yeah, we can now love our neighbor as ourselves, brothers. Not because we feel it. Okay, it's easy to love people when you feel good. Oh, I'm having a good day today. Oh yeah, you need help. Oh yeah, I'll help you. I'm having a good day. You know, and it's all based on feeling, which is good, brothers. But sometimes when the feelings aren't there, we don't love. I'm cranky today. I ain't going to love you. Okay? That's not a follower of Jesus. That's not a disciple. A disciple understands, I love because it's God's will. Because that's what God, the children of God do. We love. We shine. We do it when we feel like it or not because that's who we are. Jesus went to the cross. He didn't feel like going to the cross. He asked the Father, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. He did it anyways because it was God's will. And that's how we love too, because it's God's will. Okay? And so the moment we start to be led by the will of God rather than by the feeling, of the flesh, then we have become mature in Christ. And we can love people, brothers. We can shine like the stars of heaven. Okay? Like the stars. So I would challenge you to go back and meditate on these, because it gets you to the point where you can best love people, because you know it's out of the will of God. It's God's will. It's my will. It's not easy, but it needs to be done. There's a need right there. I'm going to help that person because it has to be done. Yeah. Someone's got to do it, and that's me. Yeah. So, brother, that's going to get us ready for the end times. As times get hard, we got to make sure, brothers, that our tank is full, because we have turned to Christ and He's given us the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And we're loving people out of obedience rather than just feeling. Feelings are good, but they're not enough. They're not enough. All right, we're going to pray about these three things. Have you made peace with God? If you're not sure, then just tell God, Lord, I don't think I've made peace with you yet. I don't think I've taken that step, yeah, for you to redeem me from my sins and for me to follow you. Yeah. Do it. Do it this morning. How much good fruit can people see in your life? Maybe you have a little fruit, but you know God wants you to have more. Ask the Lord to fill your life with love and giving and helpfulness, that those who come to you can easily, thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you for helping me. Yeah? Number three, commit to shine right now in compassion to meet the needs of people. I think sometimes we think that we have to go look for somebody to help. But I believe, brothers, that God has, every week, God shows us somebody in need. And we have become accustomed to ignore or not see them. Okay? And I think those in need are very close. Yeah? Commit. Tell the Lord to help me to minister to those needs you're showing me right now. And He will. He will help you. He will empower you. He will. Because you know it's His will. Yeah? Feel it or not feel it, you'll be able to do it. Yeah? Let's stand. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. We're going to call upon the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for this passage in James to challenge us so that the evidence of our salvation is obvious, evident to everyone around us, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, if someone in this gathering is not sure if they have made peace with you, if they sense they lack the evidence, Lord, I pray right now that they would humbly confess it and agree with you that that's true, and that they would surrender this day, this hour, to you, Lord. Surrender to your love and your forgiveness, and receive, Lord, all the heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus of forgiveness, eternal life, lordship, the Holy Spirit. Surrender right now to Jesus and trust in Him and what He did for you on the cross. An act of love for you, a high price with eternal benefits. And Father, also we come right now and we ask, Lord, that you would increase the fruit in our life, the fruit of love and the fruit of righteousness and good deeds, Lord, so that people can easily have access. When you bring them into our life, Lord, they can be touched. Yeah. They can be touched by our loving kindness, Lord, so that we're ready, Lord, when things get even rougher and tougher in these last days. Lord, help our compassion, Lord, to shine. To shine, Lord. We're not, remind us that we're not here to preserve or to save our own lives, Lord. We leave that up to you to do it. Remind us we're here to shine for you. We're here to love people. We're here to do your will until you call us home. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Stay standing.